12 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville, Willie Donick in Prague, Czech Republic. Nick Kieser in the producer's booth here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jonathan Hutton, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. I went in Blend Bar for the first time the other day. Fantastic. Jeremy and his staff do a great job. You can go there. It's a go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned. Can confirm, a nice relaxing cigar and lots of high-end spirits and wine. And Edley's Barbecue, hand off the tailgate prep or cater your next event by calling your neighborhood Edley's today, online at edleysbbq.com. Hutt, how you doing?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. And it is official. The suit, Chase McCabe, makes it literally everywhere around town.
That's right.
Including the cigar bar with Blend. And next, we'll take you to lunch at Edley's. Let's do this.
I'm down. Let's do it. You know, I have to make appearances, shake hands, kiss babies, all those things as the suit. It's what I do. We're going to talk Taylor Lewan in just a second, but the Titans announcing Monty Rice has returned to practice. And while you may look at this and go, okay, this isn't a huge move, but the fact that, you know, Cunningham's been hurt at middle linebacker, having another body back, even though Cole's done a great job as a fill-in, I think getting Monty Rice back at some point here in the near future is going to be big for the Titans.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, they were short on depth to begin the season, and they needed Monty Rice in the rotation then, honestly, because they had Dylan Cole covering some things on a two-point conversion with trying to set the edge with Barkley in week one. That didn't fare so well. And Cole played well this past week. Joe Schobert has stepped in and made some big plays. They've played their role. Monty Rice can play more than just a role on certain down and distances for this team. And I think that's why they're so high on him, the same way they were with David Long Jr. And he was part of the solution whenever Rashawn Evans didn't work out and whenever Jayon took off for Vegas in free agency. And now we get to see the process. They have 3 weeks to put him on the active roster. This has opened up that window, and we'll see how quickly he can jump into the mix. Keep in mind, you've got the bye week coming up, so they can gain two more weeks if they don't play him this week. But if he's ready to go, he's ready to go, and they can certainly use him against Washington.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so the Bustin' with the Boys podcast comes out yesterday. Taylor Lewan goes into detail about his knee injury, and basically this is the same torn ACL injury that he had in 2020, and now he's having to get it re-repaired. Basically says there's some things he can't go into right now, which kind of makes you go, all right, lawyers might be involved. But what's kind of your takeaways with Taylor Lewan and the knee injury?
Well, we can only go by him on this because the Titans don't speak on injuries, and I thought it spoke volumes that, number one, the Titans allowed him to make the announcement on Bussin' with the Boys. Let's read between the lines on this. Taylor wanted that news on his own outlet. That's number one. Second, he went into detail just by telling us that he was done for the year. They never – they treat this like the NHL. And you guys – Willie certainly knows what I'm talking about here. You don't get any information on injuries. And if you know it, you're not allowed to repeat it. They're saying on the initial tweet from Bussin, and props to them, they're saying he's done for the year. And I know he took off to L.A., I believe, yesterday or maybe the day before. I've got a buddy who was on the same flight with him. But they look, that's where he went out for the second opinion. The Titans, they put a guy on IR and they don't tell you whether or not he's done or not. And, you know, Taylor's telling us the only thing we're ever going to get until they injury settle with him or until he's off in free agency a year from now if they decide to release him. I think he was contemplating whether or not they were going to do that this past year, and they needed him on the offensive line. And unfortunately, I think you have to factor in with Taylor, he's going to miss time. That's just been the norm since 2017, which was the last full season that he played. And it's a bummer that it's the same knee and it's kind of the same issue, because he was just getting over the mental hurdle of it last year through the first half of the season, played better as the year progressed, and went into this offseason full and ready to go. And, you know, we see play number one on Monday Night Football. He's down on the turf, unfortunately. I wish him the best. I like Taylor Lewan. I think he's outside the box for sure when it comes to offensive linemen. but he's square in the middle when it comes to social media and engaging with fans. And I think that's what makes him a fan favorite. And I love his honesty for an organization that tells us absolutely nothing on injuries.
Jonathan Hutton is with us, Outkick 360. You can hear weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. You bring up he broke his own news. And, you know, the Titans probably had to give their blessing for that, for him to go about doing that. But we've seen this change where you say no, Derek
no,
says
didn't.
No.
No, they didn't. It's his body. He can do what he wants to. They didn't have to give a blessing. Nah, they couldn't stop him.
Sure.
Well, I think they thought he was going to do it sooner than when he did in the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all. I don't think there's any controversy here. And you're absolutely right. He can say whatever he wants to about his body. I just know that the players walk on eggshells when it comes to injuries and discussing them within that facility.
Well,
and
sorry to interrupt, how is that going to change? Because you've seen a lot of former players that will go do a show and they get into this business like Derek has. And, you know, everybody can have a podcast and stuff now. But with media changing, you work for a company that, you know, has changed the game, so to speak. Now Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, they have Bussing with the Boys. They've done it for a while. They can control their own narrative, and there's nothing that any of us can do about it. Like, you know, Taylor Lewan's not doing a ton of media appearances anymore because he knows he can go on his own platform and deliver the message exactly how he wants to. To me, that's just the beginning, that you're going to see this more and more and more in the ever-changing landscape of media and the player relationship.
As long as you're willing to put yourself out there, right? Like, Taylor can do that because of his value to the franchise and the money up to a certain point once he gets that contract of where he needs to be. You know, he wasn't talking all that much when they stripped him of his captaincy in his rookie year. You know, he wasn't doing radio shows then. But he gets the podcast, he gets the Boss Hog contract, and we see the personality come out. And I'm all for that, by the way. I don't want to come across like I'm anti-Taylor Lewan here. But, I mean, not every player can do that. They can, but they won't because they need a little security. They don't want to give any other reason other than their play being the reason why they're not a part of a roster. So there's few players across the league that can truly be 100% honest. I think Taylor's one of them. And, you know, he's got a – by the way, Vrabel has been on the podcast. We certainly know how those things have gone. Former players, current players go on there. I find it entertaining. I think most do. And I don't think we're going to see a huge influx of it, but it takes a personality and a guy that's willing to literally do or say anything to pull it off and get paid to do it well. And the uncensored aspect of it is what Taylor knocks out of the park.
Now, Hutt, do you think his days here as a Tennessee Titan are over? Because I look at, you know, the injury history over the last couple of years and his decline in play. I'm surprised they didn't do it this year. I'm sure he may be, you know, surprised that they didn't, you know, choose to go another direction this year as well. But do you think he, especially after this, and he says there's more to come, do you think this is when we saw him the first game of the season, that's our last time we will see him as a Tennessee Titan?
I think so. I mean, I'm just honest with you, D-Mace, whenever he went down, I was watching a game with Claire, and I said that's probably his last snap as a Tennessee Titan. You know, I think most people caught that narrative just based on the discussion we were having this offseason about whether or not he would be a salary cap casualty, if they needed to make some room, create some room for A.J. Brown or whatever it would have been at the time. And it ended up being Saffold, not Lewan. I think it was going to be one or the other with the money and the injury history. And Saffold had been battling that shoulder injury. Keep in mind, Roger Saffold was originally going to the Raiders from the Rams. And he went in for his physical, and they failed him on his physical because of that shoulder injury. So he re-signed with the Rams. Then he became a free agent and came to Nashville after that contract expired. So this what he had been dealing with, I think, was on the table, and it kept creeping up. As tough as they come, But I think that was a business move, not a personality mismatch between Saffold and the team there. And they needed one. Mm-hmm. They could use both. They needed one of the two. And I think they chose to go with LaJuan, who was coming back and could be the left tackle, because, you know, Raiden's was at best a 50-50 proposition when they were making this decision in March. They gave him every reason to win that job. They drafted a left tackle in Nicholas Petit-Frere from Ohio State. So I think they were planning on that being the possibility a year from now. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not in the room, but you draft a left tackle that had played well at Ohio State, and you've got a guy that had been with you for a full year that you were hoping would win the job at right tackle, and you've got your young tackles again on your offensive line. That's now not the case. So I don't rule it out for Taylor LaJuan to return, but it's not going to be under the current contract, and it's going to be a team-friendly contract now because of the injury history. And I think LaJuan knows that too. If he comes back here, I think he can get paid more elsewhere.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what he says moving forward about this injury, and whether the Titans agree with him or disagree with him. Because I look at it from this standpoint, Hutt. The way, and I'm only going by the way that Taylor explained it. He was having knee problems last year. His knee was swelling up on him last year. Well, you can't make me believe that Vrabel didn't notice and John Robinson didn't notice. But at the end of the season, you chose to cut one guy and keep the other. Now you're in a position where you gotta revamp that whole left side potentially next year.
Yeah, but see, I let's go a layer deeper. Uh-huh. It's because of Dylan Raiden and Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, those decisions factor in as much to this as the decisions to let Saffold and LaJuan go when you have to pay them top dollar. And in most cases, you can pay big money to a wide receiver, but you're either doing that with a quarterback under a rookie contract, or you're going extremely young at left tackle, right? Like, you're not paying all three of those spots. And the Titans chose to put money in the backfield and not at wide receiver. So that's their philosophy. And you're right. I mean, they're going to have to load back up on the offensive line. They'll have more room to do so. And, you know, and with LaJuan, even if you're bringing him back for that sake, you can't count on him to stay healthy. And that's not a knock. That's just the trend. And you have to follow that. So either way, they've got to prepare for LaJuan not being available and not needing to go trade for a dude in Carolina who is going to be cut to play because your draft picks aren't good enough.
He's Jonathan Hutt, Outkick 360, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. And we'll have more with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. But first, Hutt, I know you have a word about Edley's Barbecue.
Well, guys, we're always going to give great advice on this show. We'll pass it along for all of the football fans. And I'm going to help you with your next tailgate. Wings in 25 or 50 count platters from Edley's Barbecue. You can order at edleysbbq.com. Smoked pulled pork, tender turkey, scratch-made sides, made fresh every day, family style. Will Newman and his wife, Catherine. Edley's is named after Will's grandfather, who grew up on a farm in Viola, Tennessee, which is butts up right next to the Vervilla community where my grandfather grew up. So our families go back a ways from Warren County. And, you know, if you meet them, you're going to love them. As a family, but also if you try Edley's, you're going back because it'll be the best barbecue you've ever tasted. A neighborhood feel, a tribute to all things Southern, and authentic to all things Nashville. You can order your tailgate right now or your catering needs. Again, check them out at edleysbbq.com.
Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jonathan Hutton, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue, here with us. Again, you can hear Outkick 360 weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hutton, also part of the Eddie George Show, Mondays at 6 on 102.5 The Game. And the post-game show, no post-game this week, but usually after Titans home games with Chad Withrow on 102.5 The Game. So the Washington Commanders, I'm still getting used to that. This one to me, I'm not going to use must win or anything like that, but for them to continue their momentum, they got to go in and take care of business and then head to the bye week with an above 500 record. They let one slip away against the Giants. They almost let it slip away against the Raiders and the Colts. So, Hutt, how can the Titans get better in the second half, a subject that Mike Vrabel doesn't want to talk about? Because as we know, when he doesn't want to talk about something, he's just as mad about it as anybody else is.
Yeah, I mean, it is an issue, and they know that. And I don't know if they have a great reason why. You know, they lead the league in offensive output and scoring in the first quarter. They're very good in the first half in that ranking. The Eagles, because of what they do in the second quarter, they've created a huge gap there offensively. But second half, they drop off and they're dead last, you know, in yardage and points and all that. It's mind-boggling to me because, you know, I hear people, fans that will say, well, the coaches on the other sideline are making adjustments. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys think. I don't know how difficult it is to adjust to this Titans offense. You stop the run. You stop Derrick Henry, and teams are doing that in the second half, even as they're trying to run clock and do other things. And then the passing game, I mean, the most targeted receiver in last week's game was Derrick Henry. So they're using him more out of necessity in that too with their targets. So far, he has been on 45 of the 112 Tannehill dropbacks, which is like 40%, 39-40%. Of his dropback. So they're using him more. It's not more than what he was doing last year at this time as far as production in the pass game, but it dropped off even before he got hurt last year in the pass game. They transitioned to more offensively. I don't know if they can do that right now based on their personnel, based on their injuries with both of their rookies. So we'll see how that develops, and we'll see if they can put up some points in the second half for against a team that, I mean, my thought on this, guys, is the Titans lose this game if they beat themselves, because you can get after Carson Wentz. You've got their rookie Dotson, who's has a hamstring injury, so he's not going to play. Terry McLaurin, don't let Terry McLaurin be Stephon Diggs, and I think they'll be okay. I don't like this Washington team. The Titans have a ton of questions that they've got to answer, but at least they're doing that now as they win games. They need to go get a win and then go into the bye week and figure some things out.
Now, go ahead, Willie. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jonathan Hutton with us from Outkick. It's interesting, you know, the Titans, we all kind of have that feeling. Hey, they should be able to beat Washington. They Washington hasn't been very good for a long time, but they're favored by 2.5 points, the Titans are. So this is a team that we got to always remember. Their margin for error is small. So,
uh-oh. Did Prague get us?
I think Prague may have
got us. I think Prague got us, Hutt.
You still hear me, though?
Yeah, we still hear you.
Okay.
Unless you went to Prague.
We got you. It's been a little dicey there with Willie. So, D-Mace, go ahead.
I don't know if you – I guess Willie wasn't able to finish his thought on what he was saying. But I did want to ask you, Hutt, about Chig. Do you think this was last game was a foreshadow of what we may see moving forward? Because, listen, they're not getting anything out of Austin Hooper. He's not – in this offense, he's not a starter. Swain is their starter. Yeah. Swain is playing more snaps. And then it's Austin Hooper. But what we've seen from Chig last game was encouraging, at least to me, and I'm sure the fans enjoyed seeing Chig out there making plays. But do you believe this is sort of a foreshadowing as we move forward further in the season of what we're going to see in regards to him?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Swain, because I'm thinking, you know, they want the two tight end set, but they want one of those guys to stay in and help. And by the way, Swain's been okay in his role in the pass game too. Okonkwo, I thought going into the year that Hooper was going to be an upgrade over what we saw from Firkser, which wasn't going to be hard to do. I didn't think he was going to come in and be Jonnu Smith, who played a variety of roles back in 2020 for this offense when they were very good, pass and run. But I thought the combination of what they were doing with Chig Okonkwo, pairing him with a number one tight end in Austin Hooper, that would elevate Ryan Tannehill on play action. That would elevate some matchup problems that they could get down the seam. Okonkwo is deceptively quick. When you see him, I mean, he's got these tree trunk legs, and you think, man, this very Delanie Walker-ish when you see him. And I've been impressed with what I saw in practices, and I just think what we've seen is a number two tight end this year that has taken some time to develop within their system and now is starting to feel comfortable. I hope they add more to his plate, and I think now that we get into October, they're able to do that, and especially whenever they play, they've got a couple of division games coming back whenever they have the bye week, week 7 and week 8, and that concludes, what, October 23rd and the week after. I'm eager to see how they can develop him against some matchups within the division where they've had success with tight ends. Hooper has had success throughout his career against the Colts, but we still have not seen much from him, and I was expecting more from him last week than what we got. I've been disappointed in that regard. It's early. Mm-hmm. There's still time for him to jump into the mix here. But he should be a guy that they could lean on from day one, like they are with Robert Woods.
Now, Ryan has been playing well in the losses. It's not because the way the season's going hasn't been because of Ryan Tannehill's play. They're not 2-2 because Ryan Tannehill has been just horrible in the two losses. No, he's been pretty much one of the most consistent players, at least on offense. You get what you see. He hasn't made any mistakes. He hadn't cost any games. But I think, tell me if you agree with this, because of the way this roster is situated, we know the roster doesn't have much depth. They don't have many playmakers, if any, outside of Derrick Henry and maybe Dontrell Hilliard. We hope a couple more start to shine through. But based on how this roster look, does Ryan Tannehill need to do more? Because I know at the beginning of the season, it was like, he just need not lose us games. But it just seems they don't have enough talent, you know, for him to not just lose games. He's going to have to win games for him.
Yeah, and I don't know if I expect that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going based on last year. And with Henry out, they still ran the football well. Their passing game was atrocious. And that's par for the course to begin this year, too. He's very good in play action. And the Titans are really struggling in the passing game, in the non-play action downs. When Henry's not a threat and the quarterback's got to make a throw. He's been okay. I'm not saying he's been bad, because you're right. I mean, he's played his role. They need Henry to be great. And Tannehill to be the guy who protects the football and is not losing games. He can be more than just a role player. He stepped up and made some big throws within this Titans offense in the past. But in terms of when it's him and it's third and long, the NFL average in straight dropbacks is around 180 yards per game passing, the straight dropbacks. The Titans are at 115 on average per game. There are only two teams worse than the Tennessee Titans when they don't act like they're handing the football off to either Hilliard or, of course, Henry, Hilliard, or with Hassan Haskins. Their play-action passing game, it's not a world-beating number either, but it's above the league average. But again, on downs where teams know they're passing, right now they're screwed. They're not good in that department, and there's nothing they can do about it, because it's not like you can go out and get a number one wide receiver. They traded that dude away. Their tight end game is average at best, and their best tight end is not producing for them, at least best based on expectations. The Titans are weak at wide receiver. They're replacing their best offensive lineman, but they're winning games. And they're winning games because they're able to stay with their identity. Their identity is not quarterback stepping up and making a big throw time and time again. I think they need him to do that. But they need Henry to be the identity. They need the offensive line and defense in the trenches to be the identity. And I don't think they're going to ask more out of Ryan Tannehill than what we've seen, because that version of Ryan Tannehill has been pretty good. They're winning with that version. And that would also mean that you're expecting some of these other wideouts to step up. And I don't know if they're capable of truly being a number one option week in and week out. And because of that, I wouldn't press the gas pedal to the floor yet.
I think we have reconnected with Willie, and I know he wanted to ask you one before we let you go. So,
what's up, Willie?
Willie D, take it away.
All right. Well, we'll try this again. I missed a little bit of the discussion. I just think I've really enjoyed just listening because I haven't talked much Titans since I've been in Europe. I had tried to hit up a guy in Prague at a bar. Hey, what do you think of the Titans? You know, that you don't usually get the answer you're looking for, you know? But I did get to watch the game. I just think it's interesting, you know, about our expectations that they should beat Washington, right? But they're only a 2.5-point favorite for a reason. I think they're just that tightrope all year long. They're going to have to probably overachieve because they're low on weapons. And, you know, that's why I don't know if you guys talked about Burks, but I'm really curious about what the outlook is on him. You know, how soon can they get him back? He's going to miss some time, but how long?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm with you. Like earlier, before you cut out in Prague, the Prager Willie Donick. I can't wait to get some stories from this trip. I was thinking as I'm thinking the Titans need to go win this game. I would have said I don't know, but last year whenever they lost to the Jets, they lost to the Texans. I'm thinking good teams don't lose these games. The Bills, though, would drop a game here or there to a bad team. But, the Bills also go on the road and take care of the Rams, a 12-win team, come back home, take care of the Titans, rebound, come back on the road after a loss to Miami. They go on the road to Baltimore and win there. Whereas I think the par for the course is the Titans play up and down to their opponent. And we knew last week was a big game. And because of that, you have a little oxygen because you're not trailing the Colts by a game and a half as you go to Washington. But they're struggling. You know, they've got to figure out their run game. I know Brian Robinson was going to be that solution for them, and then he had that shot in the leg, and he's been activated off of that injury list, but we don't know his timetable yet. And we don't know Treylon Burks either, although as of – right, 30 minutes ago, whenever I joined you guys, he has not been placed on injured reserve, which he could be recalled after 4 weeks, and they have the bye week built into that. So I was talking with Eddie George Monday night about turf toe. I said, you are the king of turf toe. And he just said, look, it's extremely painful. You feel it constantly. You can take a shot and you can figure things out, but you've got to, it's all about pain tolerance. And guys are very different with that. And the injury's got to be different player to player. So we'll see more of it. The look on his face as he's carted off. And the injury itself didn't even look like a turf toe. It looked like an ankle, which is crazy to me. But that's what they're saying. They're saying it's turf toe, and that's what Rappaport reported. They need him. Even though he wasn't getting involved all that much, they need him. And they need him to develop the same way that Derek was mentioning Okonkwo, because they need someone to step up and make some big plays. The way Jahan Dotson as a rookie is making plays, the way that Drake London is making plays, or go up to the Jets and see what they're doing with their young receivers. They need their number one pick to produce. And right now he's on the injury mend after, you know, an off season where he was trying to progress with asthma and being out of shape. So the pause button is hit again. Hopefully he's back sooner rather than later, given the designation hasn't been placed upon him yet of injured reserve, although they could do that up to Saturday and still invoke the 4-week clause.
He is Jonathan Hutt, Outkick 360, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk again next week.
That sounds good, guys. Always enjoy this. Have a great day.
You too. Jonathan Hutton, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is a go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned. I can confirm, had one. It was great. A nice, relaxing cigar, as was that. And lots of high-end spirits and wine. And Edley's Barbecue, hand off the tailgate prep or cater your next event by calling your neighborhood Edley's today online at edleysbbq.com. Coming up next, we'll discuss some of the things with the Titans that we just talked about with Jonathan Hutton, but first Willie's going to tell us about Lee Company. Never mind, he is not there. We'll do that more coming here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Willie in Prague. Do we have him back? Is he there? All right, let's try this
I'm
again.
Here.
I know that we're going to see if you can hang through this. And then we might let you go for the day. We know We never knew what we were going to get with connection when it came to being in the Czech Republic. But
I'm going to talk to some people here at our hotel and see if there's a better system. I'm going to say, look, this is an important show. I know this is Prague, and this is not the most important thing. But look, we got to have a better system here. We're gonna try to up this quality for future shows the rest of the week here. This is big. This is the NHL Global Series.
This is.
There's got to be a better Wi-Fi connection. Let's go.
So some interesting news out of the AFC South. It would appear that Colts running back Jonathan Taylor will be out for their Thursday night affair tomorrow. So he is out for this week. He's been dealing with an injury. But look, the Colts are reeling right now. I mean, that's a big blow for them to not have him available.
Yeah, it's going to be. You know, this team is already reeling. They're already trying to find some sense of identity within their team. And to not have, you know, your star running back, you know, available for this Thursday game is going to be huge. I mean, this is a game they got to win. And you got to win it on the arm of Matt Ryan. Can they do that? With the way the offensive line has been blocking, I don't know. Frankly, you know, I don't care because they're in the Titans division. So, but yeah, this is going to be, you know, it's a big blow to Indianapolis not having Jonathan Taylor for this Thursday night game.
And you do wonder how much Jonathan Taylor was hurting on Sunday, but I got to give the Titans defense a lot of accolades for they the last 2 weeks they've taken two star players and neutralized them. Davante Adams got very little. He had to work for everything he got. It was a very inefficient game, especially by his standards. Same is true for Jonathan Taylor. So I don't know if Taylor was feeling it pretty bad on Sunday. He didn't look like himself, but also I thought the Titans were swarming him, just, you know, just like the Bills did to Derrick Henry. They were all over him and made it very tough for him to find lanes. So I do wonder if the Colts can hang on here, especially if he's out for any length of time, because he's the guy that really makes them go. And we have seen teams, and Derek, you remember well 2004, right, where, you know, one injury just piled up onto another, and then the next thing you know, you don't have the team that you had the last couple of years, right? It's just you can't patchwork it together and stay competitive. So I think I'm still concerned that the Titans are getting there. Let's hope that they're not there yet, but they're hanging on. They're battling. They're finding ways to win, but the Colts are in those same battles, and right now they're losing the battle.
This is interesting, too, out of the NFC, but the Bucs, we know that they have the plan for Brady, that he wouldn't practice on Wednesday. He's with the team doing some workouts but not practicing. Todd Bowles, their head coach, is missing time for a personal reason today. Assistant head coach Harold Goodwin is handling everything. The Bucs, to me, are just – there's just a lot off. Cole Beasley, who they just signed 2 weeks ago, has announced he's retiring from the NFL. So they're, you know, already banged up at receiver, and they just signed Cole Beasley. He's retiring. I don't know what's going on with the Bucs, and I was the only one on the show that predicted they wouldn't make the playoffs, and I'm feeling pretty good about that now.
Well, it just seems like the Titanic.
Can we say
me.
That it's the last stop? We can also say that it's the last stop, right? If you are a veteran wide receiver and you get the last stop of trying to play with Tom Brady and it's not working, then you know, okay, I can't play with Brady. I'm out. That's it.
Yeah,
it's over.
I'm done.
Yeah, it just seems like the Titanic to me. It's going down and everybody's trying to get off the ship, man. You know, you got people playing the piano and everything as people are jumping off, but this doesn't look good. You're trying to save as many people as you can, Willie, but this doesn't look good for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There was room on the door. I'm just saying.
Huh?
There was room on the door.
At the same time, every year that Tom Brady gets older, you wonder, you know, how much tougher is it for him to elevate everybody around him like he's always done. That's why I think they go get these veteran receivers that hopefully can help him, you know, be at his best. But it is tough. You know, we're talking about the same theme for all three teams, Titans, Colts, Buccaneers, and for most teams around the league, that's what it is, right? Every week you get an injury report, you got new challenges, and if you get the wrong formula, your season can crater.
Well, let's hope the Titans don't you know, get the wrong formula. It seems like they're headed that way, but they can't afford any more injuries, especially not to key players. You had one go down, well, two, Taylor Lewan for the season, and now Treylon Burks. You don't know how for how long. That's two of your key guys on offense. On defense, Harold goes down to begin to see before the season even start. You know, you got guys missing time. Imani Hooker missed time. I think he's back at practice now. So you got guys that are just in and out of the lineup, man. And again, you just got to tip your hat off to Vrabel, regardless of what, you know, you may think about the roster and how they should have, what they should have done and how they should have did it, how they should have done it. He's managed to keep it all together and managed to pull out two victories, in the midst of a season that, you know, if you just look at it on paper, this isn't a good team. And if they were 1-3 or 0-4, you wouldn't be surprised.
Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up next, we'll hear from the Titans head coach, Mike Vrabel. But first, as we say goodbye to Willie for the day, he's going to tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. They're a great sponsor of the Nashville Predators, and they've got representation here on the trip to Prague. They will be watching live at the O2 Arena that we're going to visit tomorrow for the first time for practice. But Lee Company, also back home, does a lot of great things for people across our listening area with the heating units, the cooling units, and remember the plumbing and electrical system as well. And you take all four systems like that, and if you want that year-round coverage and the preventive maintenance, which is always a great way to save money long-term, the home maintenance plan that Lee Company offers is a really good one. So I would really recommend looking into that. That's what we use in our house. You get the four annual checkups for all of those systems right there that I named. And if there are repairs that need to be made, then you get discounts on those repairs. 615-567-1000, Lee Company. 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
Give us some bars, D-Mace.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Realizing my life and I realize there's nothing left. That's all I know.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
It was good.
The movie was good, too.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer. I love Michelle Pfeiffer.
So do I. Who doesn't?
Goodness.
Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Before we get to Mike Vrabel, let's say hello to Chad, who has a question about Caleb Farley. Chad, welcome in.
How's it going? I had a question about Caleb Farley. I mean, if he's not working out and, like, on the outside on defense, why can't y'all just try to work him out in wide receiver since he's so supposedly fast and strong? I mean, I just don't understand why they're wasting money on somebody that's not working out on defense. I mean, it's just, it just makes no sense.
Well, thank you for the call. You know, just because, you know, he was recruited as a receiver and he played a year or two at Virginia Tech, I believe, as a receiver, there was something that told the coaches that, hey, listen, we need to move him to cornerback. It may not be working out the way we hoped it would at receiver, so they moved him to corner. I don't think you can then move him back to receiver because if they changed his position in college from receiver to cornerback, then obviously they didn't see what they thought they were going to see at that position. I don't think he's a receiver. I wouldn't even put him on that side of the ball. You know, he hasn't played receiver in, what, 4 years, 5 years. So to try to throw him at the receiver position at the NFL level, nah, it's not going to work. But, I mean, I like the thought, but it's not going to work.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, we've discussed it. Maybe they have thought about it, but it wouldn't be this year if they did it, for sure. Let's hear from some of Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Mike, with some of the injuries at wide receiver, how helpful has it been that Robert Woods, you know, with his experience and having him not only in that room but having him on the field this season?
Well, I mean, I think he's helped us in a lot of ways. I think he's, taking advantage of his opportunities. He's certainly tried to, you know, play multiple positions for us and some moving parts. And we've got other guys that are like that. I think Nick Westbrook can do that. I think Cody can play some multiple spots. So, you know, we'll see kind of where things shake out this week.
Which challenge, I guess, Mike, facing the team is don't play a whole lot, first time played him since you've been head coach?
We had him here a few years ago. But obviously every year is different. Every week is different. Just try to get to know him, Jim, just in the personnel, you know, who they are, what their style is. And that's what practice is for. That's what the meetings are about, to make sure that we understand, what their skill set is, what their play style is, and predominantly, what coverage is in fronts and, conceptually what their scheme looks like.
What do you think of their front with four first-round picks? I don't know if Young is playing, but so at least three first-round picks there. What do you think of
that? I mean, Nick certainly figured it out a couple years ago with recruiting interior defensive linemen. They're fantastic. Payne and Allen, Sweat, Length. Payne and Allen, they got great instincts. They play great with their hands, their pad level. They're not just two gappers. They can disrupt. They can change it up. Rarely out of position, rarely on the ground, and very disruptive. It'd be a huge challenge for us.
We talked earlier in the week about Mario and DeMarcus and kind of sorting through who has a better week and how to distribute the snaps. I imagine they're kind of looking at the same role out of your game plan. Are you simply plugging guys into the same thing that you guys have drawn up earlier in the week and sorting out who's better suited to do this?
I think we just try to work through everybody and see who's available, see, where guys are going to play inside and base defense, or whether it's nickel, what the third down. Right now we're focused on first and second down defense and how we're going to match up and making sure that those guys all understand, where it is that they're going to be playing and what they're going to be asked to do.
Do you tinker with the game plan as you go along if a certain guy's having a better week and his skill set is a bit different?
Well, I think that's always something that you could do. You would hopefully like to figure that out earlier in the week so that you're not, I would say wasting reps. But we'll get a lot of work in today and start the preparation and see what we think it looks like.
Coach, what are some of the things that beyond?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Does it help to have kind of what you've seen from Carson Wentz last season facing him and just the problems that he kind of have in this year, obviously been sacked 17 times, just taking advantage of that?
Right, and, they have been sacked 17 times. They've also moved the ball down the field very effectively. He's done a great job on third down. So his play strength in the pocket has allowed them to move the football downfield at times, and they mix it up and they'll get it in McLaurin and Samuel's hands quickly and allow those guys to create, but then also have the ability to hold on to it and move the ball down the field.
Beyond the interception that he had Sunday, what are some of the things that you've seen out of Tier Tart that's brought his game to another level? It seems like he's holding up really well at the point of attack to allow the linebackers to clean things up.
Yeah, I think it's just really just his comfort level, and the more that he plays and the more that he's with us and the things that we ask him to do and the techniques and, maybe the conditioning is improved. I think he's got a little better idea of what they're doing offensively, maybe. And that's helped him as well as far as just his alignments and, maybe the blocking schemes that they're doing instead of just attacking and trying to be in the backfield. I think he has a much better understanding of how he can, effectively make a play.
Is he more athletic maybe than a lot of guys who are just in the middle as a run stuffer?
I mean, I wouldn't base that off of one interception, but I think that he has power. He has play strength. I mean, he's one of the strongest players on our team. There's a burst there. And, again, I think that his comfort level is increasing.
What do you get in bringing back Shaheem Carter, and is he a guy who could potentially factor in this weekend?
Everybody, again, that's here, could factor. We've been through this, and so, but Shai is a guy that, I think, one, he's a great teammate. I think he plays multiple positions. He knows what to do. He helps us on special teams, and, we'll kind of see where he fits in. We've had, we've had him here in the past.
What about Sam Okwuayinonu? What do you like about that skill set and what's, helped you?
Sam O. Well, I mean, he's earned the right to be on the 53 by the way that he's practiced and the way that he's improved and developed. We'll continue to try to see where he can help us and fit in. But, he comes to work every day with an attitude to prepare like he's going to be playing in the game. That hasn't happened yet, and we're hopeful that, there'll be a role for him here by the end of the week.
That's Titans head coach Mike Vrabel earlier today. Coming up next, we'll discuss Carson Wentz and how the Titans can exploit some of the problems that they've had there this year, getting sacked 17 times. That's up next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. There's no fancy computer algorithms. There's no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. Nope, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. And it's my official sports book. You should do like I do. And if you want to bet on some college football, you can do it tonight. SMU getting 2.5 against UCF. I like that one. I like SMU getting the 2.5. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.